rousing song. Appreciate it. Well, I thought it's too good to be true. All through December, seemed like, or January, we had a tremendous attendance, above 700 most of Sundays, but finally winter has come and flu bugs around. But we're going to have a good service day, even though we're down a little bit. As long as the Lord helps us, we can have a good service. I like a good crowd. I like it to be up, but where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. So if the Lord will meet with us and help us, we can have a good service. But anyway, it's good to see you here today. Turn in your Bibles, please, to Matthew 14, verse 22. Matthew 14, verse 22. Matthew 14, verse 22, page 1019 in your old Scofield Reference Bible, King James 1611 version. And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side while he sent the multitude away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray, and when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with the waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. Preacher, do you believe that? Sure do. It's what the Bible says, isn't it? If he's God, he created the sea. If he wants to walk on it, that's good enough for me. I believe it. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it is a spirit. And they cried out for fear. But straightway immediately Jesus spake unto them, saying, be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And Peter answered him, and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. Peter was always, I sort of like Peter's like most of us. He's always sticking his foot in his mouth, saying the wrong thing at the right time or the right thing at the wrong time, whatever you want to say. Lord, you're out there walking. Lord, you just bid me come out there and walk on the water with you. Now, I'd have never thought. Would you have ever thought of that? Old Peter did, though. So he's quite a character. And he said, come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. When he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said to him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? And when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. Then they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying of the truth, thou art the Son of God. Let's bow our heads, please, and ask God to bless his word to our hearts this morning. Father, we thank you today for this privilege of coming back one more time this side of eternity and hearing the word of God taught and preached and fellowshipping with believers and worshiping the Lord together here in the house that's set aside for the exaltation of Christ the Lord and Lord, for preaching his word. And I pray all over these grounds today, Lord, you'd bless in preschool and children's churches and here in the main auditorium. God, just bless all over today. And Lord, may lives be, may the Lord Jesus speak to hearts, and may the word of God be instilled in lives today on these grounds. May the Holy Spirit speak to people, build them up in the faith, Lord, and convict the lost and save that one which is nearest hell. May we see people saved on these grounds today. And may, Father, we have help from above now as we preach thy word, and as these who listen, may we receive something from the Lord today. Lord, if you will just pass by one more time, it'll be worth the effort that so many have put into coming to again to the house of God. So, Lord, bless us today and meet with us and meet needs and help us today. Give us a vision of Jesus. And Lord, may we look to him for the trials that face us in life, knowing he's able to do that which abundantly above that which you would ask or think. Lord, have your way now. And And somebody here not saved, somebody out of the will of God, may they come to this altar and invitations given and get right with the Lord and leave here, Lord, on their way to heaven or back in the will of God. Have your way now. Lord, anoint me as I preach. Give me power. Give me that touch, that unction, that heavenly unction I need. And Lord, if you will, I'll give you the glory. Defeat the devil and I'll get glory to your name. Lord, help me in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I tried to get a start. I've been for months now, I've been trying to start a series of messages on 1 Timothy. And I got all my books ready and spent hours this week trying to get up a message. And the Lord just, I spent hours on 1 Timothy 1 and a lot of good things in there, but the Lord just hadn't given me a message on 1 Timothy 1. So I thought, well, Lord, maybe you want me to preach an old message, one I preached before, something that you want. And you say, preacher, do you preach messages out of the pulpit that you preach for? Yeah, when the Lord wants me to, I will. You sing the same songs over again, don't you? The wife will cook a little bit extra food, and then she'll warm it up. Well, I warmed over food. If it tasted good the first time, it usually tastes good when warmed up a little bit. Mama used to make pinto beans, and we'd have pinto beans at night, and she'd put those leftover pinto beans in the skillet in the morning. We'd have pinto bean cake for breakfast. Or leftover potatoes at night, we'd have potato cakes for breakfast. I know in seminary, professor said a message not worth preaching twice is not worth preaching once. So you've heard a lot of messages that probably weren't worth preaching the first time. But if it's worth preaching once, it's worth preaching twice. But anyway, I had a message, an old message that I thought the Lord wanted me to preach, and that I preached 30, 40, 50 years ago, however long ago it was, a long time ago. But as I was discussing this passage of Scripture with my wife this morning, the Lord seemed impressed on my heart to speak on this passage of Scripture out of where Jesus walked on the water and Peter started toward him and fell. And you know the story. I've just read the story. And the Lord impressed on my heart to speak on this passage and in the form of a testimony. Now, many of you have asked about my little experience at the doctor last week, and so I went to the doctor last Wednesday, somewhere along there, and the doctor took my pulse, and it was about low 60s, and blood was, I think, 120 over 80, which is good. All that was good, and on the EKG, sitting there, it was excellent, and I told him I was thinking about going up to the Nautilus and joining, because my knees started getting a little sore, and I couldn't run any longer, couldn't hardly walk fast. And so I said, well, if you're going to join the Nautilus, we better put you on the treadmill before you do that. And so I went back last Wednesday and got on the treadmill, and he stopped, and he said, you have a heart blockage. So I couldn't believe it. I said, well, Doc, I hadn't had any pain. I hadn't been short of breath, hadn't had any discomfort. And I'd worked out six times over the Nautilus over the holidays. And I walked about 3 or 4 or 5 miles a day. I went rabbit hunting last Monday. And we walked, I'd say, at least 4 miles, maybe more. I went up straight down hills almost and kicking bushes and kicking those crazy rabbits out so the dogs could chase them. I didn't have any pain or shortness of breath or anything like that. But the doctor said, well, that machine says you have a heart blockage. So he said, you've got two options. He said, first of all, you can take medicine, cut out all your unnecessary activity, and do only the essentials. And he said, you'll have to let your staff take on more responsibility. And I said, well, Doc, I was just fixing to go home right now and prune my fruit trees. He said, you better forget those fruit trees. I just bought a big old long trim those crazy things. Brother Bob said he'd come in and trim them for me. Man, I want to get out of that anyway, Brother Bob. I'll let you cut my grass and hoe my garden and plow my garden. Anything Bob you want to do, I'll be a willing agent in that. But anyway, and he said, I told him about going in, he said, you're going to have to quit that hunting. And I said, well, Doc, can't I just go out there and just maybe stand around a little bit and let those dogs? Well, he said, if you don't walk too much, you can't go. So He said, and he said, I want you to cut back and do only that which is essential. Cut all outside activities. Do that which is essential. He said, and sort of hold back on your preaching. Don't preach too hard. Well, I said, Doc, I'd rather die than get up there and just stand there and just sort of talk a little bit. I said, I'm going to preach. I'd rather die preaching than rust out. So he said, and don't get under stress. He said, that's your first option, medicine and cut back. He said, your second option, have a heart catheterization. He said, we'll go in there and find out what's wrong. That didn't sound too good to me. And so I said, and he said, by the way, he said, now, these treadmills, about 10 to 15% can be false positive. He said, we might go in there and find out nothing's wrong. I said, what's the risk? And he said, about out of every 1,000 or a couple of you have a problem. As long as you're in the 998, you're okay there, aren't you? When you're in the will of God, you're okay anyway, aren't you? And I said, well, Doc, I said, I want to pray about it a while. And about that catheterization, I said, I want to get peace in the Lord. He said, well, take this medicine and cut back on unnecessary activity, and I'll see you in about 2 to 3 weeks, and he said, you'll eventually want heart catheterization to find out what's wrong, if anything's wrong. Well, I was strong when I came back and talked to my wife and staff and church last Wednesday night, and the Lord was with me. But you know what? On Wednesday, I acted on knowledge. You know, the knowledge that the Lord has been with me in the past. I can't doubt that. And the Lord having been with me when I needed him in the past, every time it seems like I needed the Lord in the past, the Lord's been there. I'm not saying that I just walk with the Lord all the time and he's surreal to me. And I wish it was that way. I wish it was that way, but I hate to report it's not been that way. But it just seems like when I needed him, the Lord was there, and that's all that really counts, isn't it? And I'd like to say that, like some of the great saints of old, that I walked with him just constantly, just walked above the world, but it hadn't been that way. But every now and then, the Lord has let me know, especially when trouble comes. You know, if trouble didn't come to us along the way, we wouldn't be worth shooting at sunrise. You know that? The psalmist said, it was good that I was afflicted, then I might learn thy statutes. So the doctor said, he said, you go home, take this medicine, cut back activities, and then think about it and pray about it. He had a grandfather who was a minister, so he knew what I was talking about. But he said, you'll eventually want a heart catheterization, find out what's exactly wrong. And but I was strong on Wednesday, but one other thing, too. You know, an old saint's advice, I don't remember, I read this, somebody told me, I believe I read it somewhere, don't doubt in the dark what the Lord has showed you in the light. And so when the Lord has helped you and blessed you and been with you, when trouble comes, don't start doubting God. What, if he's been with you in the past, that's your assurance he's going to be with you in the future. And he's promised, I'll never leave you nor forsake. So we ought not doubt in the dark what the Lord showed us in the light. But Thursday and Friday and Saturday, my faith started wavering like old Peter's here. He got his eye on Jesus, and then he looked all the way and started going down. My faith started wavering a little bit. When I had to start canceling engagements, a doctor told me to cancel outside speaking engagements. And I had to cancel a banquet for Friday night. And I had to call up Brother Gary Sutherland down in Carolina, and I was supposed to be at a area preachers meeting down there and preach for him at that area preachers meeting. And I was supposed to speak at the Southeast Fundamental Baptist Fellowship in April over in Winston-Salem, North Carolina. I had to call over there and tell them that they better just go ahead and get somebody else. I don't know what the situation is. And I was supposed to speak down at Bob Jones University, their soul-winning conference, six, 7,000 people a day. In December, I haven't called down there yet. I don't think I'm going to wait to find out sure what's the matter with them. But anyway, I started canceling out engagements, and then I started thinking about the possible implications of a heart blockage. And then I started getting concerned. I didn't go to pieces, but my mind got on my problems. Brother Harold, the Lord stopped me from going to the Nautilus. The Lord, he gave me a free 2 weeks up the Nautilus there, and I appreciated that. I needed exercise, but see, the Lord didn't want me to keep on up there. You see, that wasn't a bad thing that I found that out. Because if I'd have joined the Nautilus, they might have sent the rescue squad over there and towed me out of their feet first. So see, the Lord is good in letting me find that out. So you see, you can see how the Lord works. But as I said, I started getting concerned, but I didn't go to pieces. But I got my mind on my problems, and that's always a mistake. That's always a mistake. We always have a problem when we look at self and our problems instead of looking to the Lord. When I start looking at myself, I always have problems. You do too. And that's the reason a lot of people have so many nerve problems. They're just concerned about self and don't look to others and to the Lord. But I laid down just a few minutes at supper Saturday night and told my elder, doctor told me to get a little rest every day. And that wasn't a bad order. I didn't mind that too much. But I laid down to take a little rest after supper. And I laid there, and it seemed like that the Lord hadn't been near to me for about 3 days. And as I laid there, I started feeling the Lord's presence, started talking to the Lord, I don't feel like yet I have perfect peace about this situation, but I started feeling the Lord's presence and started sort of feeling and hearing a little rustling in the mulberry trees. And I believe that peace is on the way for me about this thing. I started feeling a little rustle there in those mulberries. Now, I didn't tell you this morning for self-glory, because I'm the same as you are. It's not easy for me to have a bad report, just the same as it's not easy for you to have a bad report. I'm not trying to glorify self. If you don't mind, just give the Lord the glory out of everything that I say and do from this pulpit. I don't want you to brag on Gene Lashley. I'm not worth bragging on. Just brag on Jesus. Just, if you don't mind, just give the Lord the glory for it. I want him to be glorified, not self. I've already told the Lord I want him to get, I didn't want to get up here and try to exalt self. I want the Lord glorified. Self gets in the way a lot, but I want the Lord glorified. Then I didn't get here to tell you this for your sympathy. Your sympathy, it might feel good, but it won't help any. Your sympathy won't. I want your love and prayers, but not your sympathy. And then I didn't tell you this to burden you, because most of you got plenty of burdens yourself. But we're to bear each other's, bear one another's burdens. The Bible says, so fulfill the law of Christ. And I prayed and wept for many of you. And now the ball's in the other end of the court. It's easy to pray for somebody else and feel with them when problems are there. But it's a horse of a different color when it hits home, when the ball's in the other end of the court, on the end of the field. So just pray for me that the Lord will give me peace. I want his will above everything. If this is the Lord's will, I accept it. I accept it. It's not easy, but it's best. If it's the Lord, if this is God's will, the Lord still heal me. I know he can do that. But if not, if it's his will, it's best for Gene Lashley. Now, it's the will of God, whatever it is always best. Just came to me in Romans, I beseech you therefore, brethren, that by the mercy of God, you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Is that what I'm looking for? Yeah, that you may prove, the verse 2, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. The will of God is good, it is acceptable, and it's perfect. Now, folks, God's will is what we need. That's what I want. And if this is God's will, and if he doesn't heal me, if it's God's will for me, it's good and acceptable and perfect for Gene Lashley. And for you, God's will is perfect. Whatever. So I want his will. I want to keep on living for Jesus. And I want to keep on preaching that old book until the Lord calls me home. That's what I want to do. So it's going to be just business as usual at Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. Not going to miss a lick. Going to keep on keeping on doing the same things, living for Jesus, trying to win souls, preaching and teaching the old book, and exalting Jesus Christ. It's business as usual at Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. And by the way, I've still got a lot of kick in me. I feel pretty good. I feel better than most of you feel right out there right now. The Lord's going to maybe leave me around quite a while, I believe. Maybe it's up to him, but I believe he might leave me around a long time to fight the devil and agitate some of you carnal bandits. He may do me that. But anyway, here in Matthew 14, I want to, this morning, point out three things that we need to remember when the winds of trouble blow. Now, I'm talking to the child of God this morning. When the winds of trouble blow. And listen, child of God, you're not going to be immune from trouble. You're not going to be immune from trouble. These disciples weren't out of the will of God. They were his disciples. And in verse 22, straightway Jesus constrained his disciples. He said to get into a ship and go before him unto the other side. So they had trouble in the will of God. Isn't that right? Didn't Jesus tell them to get in the boat? Didn't Jesus know about the winds that were going to blow and make them afraid? Didn't Jesus know all about that? And Jesus knew before they got safe to the other side, they were going to have some trouble. They were going to have some contrary winds. So they were in the will of God, and trouble came to them along the way. And every child of God is going to have trouble, even though you may be in the perfect will of God. You're going to have trouble. But now there's three things to remember for a child of God, and especially those who are in the will of God. And I believe that over 25 years ago, I have no doubt, God called me to this church. I am in the will of God. I haven't always done the will of God in every little circumstance. But I believe it's the will of God for me to preach in this pulpit. I don't doubt that. I've not always been and said and done every little thing in the will of God. But I believe that generally I'm the will of God as pastor of this church. And you can be in the will of God and trouble will still come to you in the will of God. And winds, contrary winds, are going to blow your way, even though you're saved and in the will of God. Now remember three things when the winds of trouble blow. Number one, I want you to remember, Jesus is praying for you. I said Jesus knew all about their trouble. When the winds were blowing in the boat, and they thought they were going to sink and be lost in the wind and the waves, where was Jesus? Where was Jesus? Huh? Where was he asleep and forgot all about his disciples? No. Look at verse 23. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And so while they were in that storm, wind-tossed sea, I don't know whether it's a storm or just great winds come up, a great windstorm. But anyway, the winds were contrary, and they were blowing and tossing the ship. And Jesus knew all about it. He knew about his disciples being out in that sea, in the ship, being tossed with contrary winds. And Jesus was up in the mountains praying for them. He was up there praying for them. He knew all about it. I believe he was praying. So we need to remember, when the winds of trouble blow in our lives, that we have a Savior interceding at the right hand of God for us. Now, when that doctor gave me that bad report last Wednesday, it didn't catch Jesus by surprise. And the bad reports, if you're saved, the bad reports you've had, or you've had recently, or you will have in the future, it won't catch Jesus by surprise. Where was the Lord last Wednesday when I got that bad report? Well, he's over in glory, interceding for his own. That's that his his office work right now. He is the Savior. He'll save all that come to him. But his office work right now is interceding for his own over on the other side. As Hebrews 7:25 says, he ever liveth to make intercession for us. So the Lord, if you're saved and going through a problem this morning, he ever liveth to make intercession for you. Right now, the Lord's making intercession. Turn over to Hebrews, the fourth chapter. Hebrews 4, verse 14. Hebrews 4, verse 14. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. In other words, don't waver when trouble comes. We have a high priest that's up there in heaven. He's passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God. So hold on. Don't give up. Keep looking to Jesus. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly under the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. So we have a high priest that's interceding for us, and we can go to him in time of need and find grace and help. Jesus has promised, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Now when you're going through trouble, the Lord hasn't forsaken you. Trouble doesn't mean that the Lord's forsaken you. Jesus said in 1 Peter 5, he said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. He said in 1 Peter 5:7, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. As the chorus says, he careth for you, he careth for you. Through sunshine and shadows, Jesus, he careth for you. So we need to remember that. That when trouble, the winds of trouble blow, remember we have a Savior in heaven that's interceding for us. Jesus is praying for you in the midst of your trouble. Then the second thing in this passage, there's so much in this passage, back in Matthew 14. But another thing that I want to point out, in the midst of when contrary winds blow in our lives, remember that Jesus is master of all circumstances. Now, the Lord knows all about my physical condition. I feel good this morning. I feel good. The Lord knows all about it. I may have a problem, may not. I don't know. Doctor says I do. But Dr. Jesus may just, if it's his will, he has power to change the situation. If he doesn't, he has power to help. So he's the master of all circumstances. He's the master of your circumstances. He has power over circumstances. I mean total power. He has all power over all circumstances. Look at verse 22. As I've already said, in verse 22, the disciples were, Jesus, he had commanded them, constrained them to get in the ship and go on the other side, so they were in the will of God. Now, they weren't out of the will of God. They weren't living in open sin. They were in the will of God, and still trouble came to them. Look at verse 27. Jesus said two things. I want you to notice in verse 27. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. When he came to them in their trouble, he said two things. First of all, a positive thing. He said, be of good cheer. And then notice what a wonderful thing he said in verse 27. He said, it is I. I. Who was it speaking there? The great I am. Before he said, before Abraham was, I am. The great I am said, be not afraid. It is I, the great I am. So the great I am came to them in their problem, in their trouble. And folks, we are saved. But look to Jesus and seek his help and his peace. I believe the great I am will come to us in a time of trouble. Then he said a negative thing here. He said, first of all, positive, it is I, be not afraid. Or rather, he is I. Be of good cheer, it is I. And then there in verse 27, he said a negative thing, be not afraid. So, be of good cheer, the great I can control the circumstances. And then he said, be not afraid. He had power to calm their minds. And then when Jesus got in the ship with them, then the wind ceased. He had power over the winds. Jesus walked on the water. He spoke peace to their heart. He caused the winds to cease. He is Lord. He is sovereign. He has all power. Now, folks, that's the kind of God I serve today. If your God's not like that, I'm sorry about it. My God has all power. Ephesians 3:20 says, he is able to do exceedingly abundant. Exceeding abundantly. I like that word, exceeding. He is able, he, Jesus, is able to do exceeding abundantly. Above all that we could ask or think according to the power that worketh in us. Many saints of God, down through the years, have had trouble. In fact, every saint of God down through the years had trouble. And saints of God have sought the help of the Lord and sought the face of God, and they have found help from the Lord in when trouble, the winds of trouble, have blown in their lives. And every saint of God down through the years has made it with the help of God through life. And on in safely to the other side. Every saint of God's made it. And folks, if you're saved, you're going to make it. You're going to make it. So a third thing now from this passage, and I haven't done a thorough study on this. I came up here this morning, started writing, and I've written so much, and hurriedly I felt impressed of the Lord to bring these thoughts out. I've written so much. I've not, as I said, not done a thorough study, but this is what the Lord, I believe, wanted me to preach from this pulpit today. If it's the last message I ever preached, I believe this is what the Lord wanted me to preach. And the third thing to remember when trouble, the winds of trouble blow, a third thing is this. Don't take your eyes off Jesus. Don't take your eyes off Jesus. That's what old Peter did, and he started... He started going under, brother, like a ton of bricks when he took his eyes off Jesus. And I think Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and most of yesterday, I sort of took my eyes off Jesus, and brother, I started sinking too. Until the Lord sort of helped me to reverse that last night. Old Dr. Lakin said, I know why Peter started going down. He said that from this pulpit, I think. Old Peter, brother, when he was walking on Jesus, he wanted to look and make sure those boys saw what he was doing. And he wanted to say, boys, look at me. And when he took his eyes off Jesus, started looking at them, he started down. Well, I don't think that's exactly the correct interpretation, in all due respect for Dr. Lakin, who's in glory right now looking on. But that's an interesting observation. But in verse 30, look at verse 30. Now Jesus said, Peter, come to me. And Peter started walking toward the Lord. And when he did, when he kept his eyes on Jesus, he started toward the Lord. He was okay. But then in verse 30, notice, when he saw the boisterous wind, he took his eyes off Jesus and looked at the winds and the waves that were lapping all around him. And when he did, look what happened. He got afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. And that's what happens to every child of God in the will of God. When we get our eyes off Jesus, we're going to start sinking. And we need to look to the Lord in the midst of contrary winds that are going to blow down through life. I know I won't go into detail. I've told you many times of how when the winds of trouble have blown in my life, how that I've just cried out to the Lord, said, Lord, I've just got to have your help. And hallelujah, I'm glad to say He's helped me to this point in my life. And I sort of think that he's going to help me the rest of the way on in. It might not always be pleasant, but I believe he's going to help me. I ride on in. I believe he is. I remember coming here. I prayed for days till I felt like God wanted me to come here. And he said, he promised me before I came here, and out of Exodus there, that his presence would go with me. And the Lord has been with me. I haven't always done what I should have been, done or been what I should have been, but the Lord, I'm in God's will. I know that the Lord's helped me. I'm not bragging on Jesus, on Gene. Lastly, I'm bragging on Jesus, because he's going to help every one of his children that looks to him. He's going to help us. Every child of God looks to Jesus. We'll get up and testify, the Lord help me. Praise his name. That's a testimony of every child of God. Then I remember when my boy Calvin was born, I won't go into that in detail. They exchanged his blood twice up in John City. I thought I'd lost my boy. I got on my face, looked to the Lord, and I said, Lord, if he will grow up and accept you and get saved, Lord, spare his life. If not, take his life right now. I'd rather he not live, is to live and die and go to hell. The Lord spared his life. He got saved. And I remember when I first got here, I didn't know you wasn't supposed to relocate the oldest church in the state of Tennessee. They didn't teach me that down at Bob Jones University. And I got into that before I knew what I was getting into, which is the will of God, even though I didn't fully understand everything. It's the will of God for us to come up here. I mean, whether you were against it or for it, it's still the will of God. And a lot of times I do things and find out later I wasn't right on the right situation. But as my trouble came, went over on the lake and prayed, the Lord on my knees and in his word gave me assurance that when the water's not overflow you and the fire will not burn you, and out of Isaiah there. And so somehow the Lord brought me through, and the health problems I've had, the Lord's brought me through. And when trouble and anxiety come, trouble and anxiety comes, when we take our eyes off Jesus and start looking at our own problems, that's when trouble comes. And when anxiety comes, peace comes when we look to the Prince of Peace, the Lord Jesus Christ. Old Peter started sinking when he took his eyes off Jesus. And folks, you and I will too. If you're not looking to Jesus today, you're sinking right now. You may not even realize you're sinking. And we will too. What did Peter do? Look at verses 30 and 31. He took his eyes off the Lord when he looked at the wind, started sinking, and he cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately, Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? So Peter said, Lord, save me. And the Lord caught him and took care of old Peter. And some of you may have problems and troubles this morning. You and I need to do what old Peter did. We need to just cry out to Jesus. Just cry out to Jesus. That's the answer when trouble comes. We need to say, Lord, if you don't help me, I'm a goner. And you are without Jesus. And I am without the Lord's help. And I believe that if we, I believe this from the top of my head to the sole of my feet, I believe when we look to Jesus as believers, he will either solve the problem or he'll help us through, over, under, or around every difficulty that comes through us to us in life. He'll either help us in or over the difficulty. The psalmist said, this poor man cried, and he heard me and delivered me out of all my troubles. He didn't spare him his troubles, but he delivered him through his troubles. And then a wonderful thing, there's so much in this passage here. In verse 33, notice that when they were in the ship, then they that were in the ship came and worshipped him. Let's see. Verse 32, and when they came into the ship, the wind ceased. So as soon as Peter and Jesus got in the ship, the winds ceased blowing. And Jesus got in the boat with him, and the winds died down. You know, folks, it doesn't matter what happens to us in life. As long as Jesus is in the boat with us, doesn't it? If Jesus goes with me, I'll go anywhere. 'Tis heaven to me, wherever I may be, if he is there. I count it a privilege here, his cross to bear. If Jesus goes with me, I'll go anywhere. I'd rather have an unhealthy body and have Jesus with me, as to have the best health in the state of Tennessee and not have Jesus with me. What do you have if you don't have Jesus this morning? Answer that question. What do you have without Jesus today? Jesus said, without me, you're a goose egg. You're nothing. You're nothing. Now, some of you may be thinking today that you really don't need the Lord. I'm a master of my own faith. Things are going along pretty good. There's some of you right now thinking, I can live my life without the Lord. Things are going along pretty good. Things are going along fine. No problems. Listen, I got on that treadmill Wednesday. Speeding it up. And I got on there, Brother Steve, to get my good report. But it didn't happen that way. I went up there to get my good report, but it didn't happen. And some of you, just like that, you think, listen, you may have a disease germ in your body right now. You may have something wrong with you that you don't even know about. That's the way I was last Wednesday. Now, I'm not trying to scare you. I'm just telling you what happened to me. I'd gone hunting Monday, and I had, most of you couldn't have kept up with me. A lot of you young men couldn't have kept up with me Monday. And so I went in to get my good report. And no problems. But it wasn't that way. Some of you, things are going well right now. But right around the corner, sometime out there, it's going to change for you. I ran track, played football in high school and college, thought I had good health. Your good health is not going to be there forever. It's not going to be there forever. My brother Don, I called him, and he said he had just had a heart pain in his, and he had to rush him to the hospital, and then they decided it wasn't anything wrong with his heart, something he ate. And I've never had a pain in my life, my heart, and no discomfort. I found out I had a heart blockage. He said, Gene, you're a picture of health. And that may be what your situation, you may think everything's okay now. Things may change soon. So Christian, my advice is this. Live for Jesus, serve him, walk with him, read this old book, pray, and when trouble comes, he won't fail you. He won't fail you. He hasn't failed me for 56 years. I failed him. I failed him. I failed him. But he's never failed me. And I don't believe he's going to let me down now. What are you going to do, Preacher Lashley? What are you going to do now, Preacher Lashley? I'm going to do what Job said in Job 121. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. The Lord gave me strength, and I don't know, I may still have nothing wrong, I don't know. But if he has, it's okay. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And then Job 13:15, with sores all over his body, from head to foot, and all of his wife and children dead, wife turned against him, friends criticized him. Looked like everybody in the world turned against him. He said, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. And what are you going to do, Preacher Lansley? Regardless of what comes or goes, there's no one else to look to but Jesus. Vain is the help of man. Vain is the help of man. And with God's help, I'm just going to keep on looking to Jesus. Is there anything else to do for a child of God? I don't know anything else to do, do you? And that's a great thing to do. Now let me say just a word to you here that this morning in this crowd, I'm sure that you better listen to me. Better listen to me. Listen, if you're away from the Lord, or if you've never been saved, one day trouble is going to come. It's going to come. And if you have turned your back on the Lord, If you've never been born again, never been saved, you'll have no one to turn to in that hour. And so I urge you to turn to Jesus. He's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Over 40 years ago, you've heard me tell many times, I came and knelt to the mourner's bench. And an old man, old deacon, put his heart, he's in glory. And then he said, Gene, will you trust Christ? And I said, yes. And I thank God I meant that. Something happened to me. I didn't fully understand it. But the Lord saved me. And he's been with me down through his life. So thus far. And I thank God for it. And over in John 6, we won't turn to the same passage on this same subject here of Jesus walking on the water. It said that when Jesus got into the boat, immediately they came to land. Now some people think that's another miracle. They think that Jesus walking on the water was a miracle. Jesus calming the winds was a miracle. And then the third miracle is when Jesus got in the boat, immediately they got to land. That's another miracle. And you know that's exactly what's going to happen to a child of God. One day,